This podcast is a feature segment pulled right from the full Green Divas radio show. Enjoy. I do not know how this green dude has flown under my radar for so long. I have seen his name, and I know I have seen his work, and we have so many mutual colleagues that we've worked with, so it's kind of funny. But recently I saw something he was working on Twitter. He had tweeted, and I'm trying to pay attention to Twitter more, right? So I see that this guy's working on the Dark Snow project, and there's something that he tweeted that got my attention. So Peter Sinclair, I am so glad to have him with us today. And just to give you a little bit more information about him, he is a videographer, a producer, a climate educator. He's the media director of the Dark Snow Project, and he's really out there capturing with his video work and his video journalism. He's capturing so much important information on what is happening on the front lines of climate change and what we need to know. Hi, Peter.
Hey, what's going on?
Really glad we could make this happen. Last week I had this like freak jury duty thing, and like, so you were very gracious to be flexible. So I'm really glad we could make this happen because I know you're busy. And tell us a little bit first off, like, what is the Dark Snow Project and what do people need to know about that?
The Dark Snow Project, darksnow.org, is a science and communication collaborative between myself and Dr. Jason Box of the Geological Survey of Denmark and Greenland. And Dr. Box is someone that I had interviewed a few times in part of my videos, and at some point, I think it was in 2012, he called me up and said, hey, do you want to go to Greenland? And
well, yeah, why not?
That was kind of my reaction. I had actually been talking to scientists for a while and saying, you know, I really need to get onto an ice sheet and see what the heck is going on here. And so Dr. Box had conceived this idea of doing something that would kind of help humanize the whole scientific endeavor and the scientists involved in this climate issue by taking someone like myself and then really using social media to communicate what we're doing in real time and really bring people a sense of immediacy about this activity and not just, you know, maybe reading the Associated Press story six months after the paper gets published or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's working. It's got my attention.
It is working. And there's a lot of scientists who have given us feedback saying that this is something they're really following and in some cases even emulating in terms of our model, which has been crowdfunded for the most part.
Nice.
And although last year we did get a grant from Leonardo DiCaprio Foundation.
Oh, nice.
But that was pretty much a one-year thing. So this year I am again crowdfunding. I was not completely sure I was going back to the Arctic this year, but in the last couple of months we've seen a dramatic, dramatic plunge in Arctic sea ice, and at least through May, extremely unusually warm temperatures over the ice sheet in Greenland, although I understand that trend has reversed and it's pretty cold up there right now, more like normal. But at least there is reason to believe that this could be a dramatic, even transformative year in the Arctic, so I just felt like one of us had to be up there, and Dr. Box is tied up with writing and publishing this summer, so I thought if I could just get up there with my camera to where the science is being done, we should be able to come back with some stories.
Well, yeah, I just keep hearing all these pretty frightening reports about the acceleration over the last like year or so. It's like the data is just accelerating off the charts beyond what was predicted a couple of years ago.
Well, there's a number of things going on, and one of the most important ones is that we have just come through an El Nino event,
right,
which is something that people may have heard of or heard their TV meteorologists talk about. But it's essentially it's a movement of water and heat in the Pacific that is so massive that it affects the whole planet, and it is a cyclical thing. It comes and goes, but when you have this underlying steady rise in global temperatures due to climate change,
right,
you tend to get your record hot spikes and jumps during an El Nino time, and that's what we've seen. Is the scientists rarely use words like shocking and unprecedented, but that's the kind of words that they're using to talk about the jump in global temperatures and the corresponding extreme events, which we've been seeing in places as diverse as Texas and Paris and Germany and Australia. The Great Barrier Reef took a huge, huge hit. And Arctic sea ice has been essentially setting a new low record for the date, basically every day for the last, I don't know, couple of months.
And it's
dropping. The graphs are just stunning to look at. So what's going on with the ice that covers the ocean up north,
right,
is quite directly tied to what we might expect to see on the land ice on Greenland.
Okay.
And a lot of people still ask me where Greenland is. It's that giant island on the map, sort of in the North Atlantic between Iceland and Canada, and it's 80% ice, and there's 22 feet of sea level tied up in that ice, and
wow,
it has been rapidly accelerating in the amount of ice that's being lost from there for a number of reasons, and that's what we've been investigating. And the last time there was a big record melt on Greenland was 2012, although for the last 20, 25 years, it's been accelerating.
Yeah.
And there's some speculation that we might see something notable again this year, but we'll have to wait and see how it develops.
Well, you'll let us know because you'll be there.
Right.
So this is the front lines that you are reporting for us. Now, other things that you've been doing a monthly video series with Yale Climate Connections, which we have hosted on our show, some of your colleagues that do the audio piece. But you've been hosting This Is Not Cool, or producing This Is Not Cool, which is a monthly video, and you know, it's got associated blog and everything. And you've got some really interesting pieces there. I noticed the latest one I saw was Bill Gates talking about how nuclear is like one of the best options, and he wants to put a bunch of...
Well, the most recent This Is Not Cool segment focused on kind of a back and forth between Bill Gates, who's been an advocate for what is called new generation or fourth generation nuclear power.
Yeah.
As a solution to climate change. Mr. Gates totally gets it that climate change is a big deal. And then there is another side to the conversation, which I represented with Mark Jacobson, who is a PhD engineer from Stanford, who has done a tremendous amount of work in modeling a pathway to get us to a renewable world using primarily solar and wind energy.
Right, not nuclear.
No coal, no gas, no nuclear. That video kind of leaves you in a sort of understanding that the nuclear technologies that people are talking about are not the technologies that we are familiar with,
right,
or that we've got working today. They are yet to be built and proven.
Right.
And I'm somewhat agnostic about that, other than the fact that the problem is not in the future, the problem is now.
Yeah.
And in the renewable world, what I have been telling people recently is, if you were completely briefed and up to date on what's happening in renewable energy 3 months ago, you're behind.
Right.
Because things are moving so fast in that space that I have been peeling my jaw off the floor regularly for the last several weeks, just watching what's coming through in terms of just an across-the-board realization at the highest levels of the financial world that the age of fossil fuels is over.
Well, they're a little late, but better late than never, I suppose.
Well, you know, they are a little late. I get it. but it is nonetheless,
yeah,
for those of us that have been working in this area, yeah, it is stunning.
It's big.
You know, last week's editorial in the Financial Times, which has to be one of the major organs of the investment community,
right,
just said the oil industry does not yet understand that fossil fuels are heading into obsolescence,
yeah,
in the next few decades.
Yep.
Everything that we see in terms of the numbers and where the investment is going and how rapidly wind and solar are evolving around the world backs that up.
I've been saying it for 20 years, but if I were a forecaster for the fossil fuel industry, I would have been already putting my ducks and research into all this new renewable energy. And frankly, if I'm I just hope that people will see the value, and perhaps even Bill Gates. I know that there's new nuclear, and I don't know, it's safer. I saw something about an island that he's got visual of and whatever. Great. But why not put all of that effort and innovation and great minds on safe, renewable energy that is, like, abundant and near completely safe, right?
It's kind of a worldview thing, or a paradigm,
right,
issue. And if I think people, there are a number of people who haven't quite moved beyond the model that you have to build these gigantic central station power plants, and then everybody sort of taps into that,
right,
sort of a hub and spoke kind of model,
right, the grid,
instead of a network model like the internet.
Yep.
Which is really where the renewable sources are taking us. So the objection that comes up frequently is, well, what do you do when the wind stops blowing or the sun's not shining? And the real world experience is showing us quite rapidly, as countries like Germany get to 30% renewable electricity, and
yeah,
states like Iowa are at 30% and heading for 40%, and they have not run into any problems yet.
Nope.
In fact, prices are lower. Iowa has one of the lowest electric rates in the Midwest.
Nice.
Germany has a grid that is 10 times as stable as the United States grid in terms of blackouts and brownouts.
Yeah.
You know, engineers are good at this,
yeah.
And moving electrons around is what these power engineers do. And the better you make your transmission lines, the better you can move energy from east to west and north to south. The sun is always shining, or the wind is always blowing somewhere.
Right, and there's water flowing, there's all kinds of...
And then
of,
there's
yeah,
water falling, and eventually there yeah, will be tidal and so nobody's suggesting that we're going to make this transition overnight,
right,
but as we have been making it at an accelerated pace, it's been working just fine,
yeah,
and we expect it's going to continue to work fine.
No, that's just that brings me to my last point, and then we'll have to wrap it up, and that is that you have a wonderful blog called Climate Denial Crock of the Week, and I think the top story there is about the U.K., had solar energy, at least for a brief time has overtaken some of the coal, which, of course, coal ran the UK for a long time.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal. I mean, coal is almost synonymous with the Industrial Revolution that started in the UK. Yeah. And, you know, we're all familiar with Dickensian London and, you know, right. Shroud of coal smoke and all that kind of stuff. But now it's starting to go away because in part because natural gas is very competitive, but also in part because renewable energy is coming on so strongly, and we don't think of the UK as being a particularly sunny place, but during this last month of May, more energy was produced from solar power than from coal. Right. In the UK. And so we keep passing these milestones week by week and month by month. It's starting to really evolve into a world-changing paradigm shift that is happening right in front of our eyes. So if you've been waiting to see what it's like for global change to happen in really rapid fashion, just relax and breathe because you're watching it. You're part of it right now.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this, then you're on the road to taking the right actions necessary, and first by educating ourselves, right?
Totally.
So we're going to have you back because you've got so many other things you're working on and working with some of our favorite Green Divas and Green Dudes out there, Catherine Hayhoe, Jeff Goodell, so many.
Yep.
So I want to talk again more soon. And in the meantime, how would you prefer that people keep up with what you're up to?
Well, climatecrocs.com, Climate Denial Croc of the Week at climatecrocs.com is sort of my tongue-in-cheek, but highly informative and very, very reliably sourced blog.
It is.
That is frequented by a lot of very high-level scientists who help keep me on the straight and narrow. And my videos are always posted there. And
okay.
Then, of course, darksnow.org. Anyone that wants to support this work can go to darksnow.org and click on the support button and get a tax break for anything you can kick into the cause.
There you go. There's an action right there, people. Thank you so much again, and I look forward to talking to you soon, Peter.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
The podcast you just listened to was a feature segment pulled right from the Green Divas radio show. Thanks for listening. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Green Divas Radio Show. Access our huge catalog of podcasts on demand on your favorite podcast network, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, SoundCloud, and of course, along with all kinds of great posts about living a deeper shade of green on thegreendivas.com. That's THEGreenDivas.com.